We trust in your mercies today, Lord. We rest in your faithfulness. my sleep at night. I depend on you. Oh, and I depend on you. You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. All together, let's sing this out. Where your spirit leads, as I'm following. With our hearts, we confess. I depend on you. I depend on you for the victories still in front of me. All together we say, I depend on you. Oh, and I depend on you. Teach us to abide in you, to live in your presence day after day, to bring honor and glory to you. Let our lives bring honor and glory to you, Lord. We don't want to just live for you, we want to live with you, God. We want to live through you, in you. Show us how. Teach us to abide. We draw nearer to you. We draw nearer to you. we sing this together? I depend.
I depend on you. I depend on you. I depend on you. I depend on you.
Let me hear you sing that today, family, with your hearts. Could we do apart from you?
I depend on you.
You're the vine, you're the vine, and I depend on you. You are life, you are life.
I depend on
you. You're the source, you're the source. Sing this with me. We will overcome. Sing Jesus, Jesus.
Oh, and Jesus, awesome in power forever. Awesome and great is your name. You are.
One last time, we got to sing it. It sounds so good. Jesus.
And Jesus, awesome in power.
On, you know this one.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Now once was lost, oh, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed, and my chains are gone. And I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. Has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. And He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. And my chains are gone. Soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine. You'll be forever mine. And my chains are gone, yeah, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, with His mercy rains, unending love.
One of the things that I love about music is music can function almost like a time machine in our lives. There are certain songs that when we sing, we find ourselves back at a particular place with particular people at a particular time. I can't listen to Oasis's album. What was the name of that again? I can't remember the name all of a sudden without like seeing my little brother. Sorry, he's visiting today, so I'm, you know, extra emotional. What's the Story Morning Glory album? I can't hear that album without like seeing him play basketball as a little kid on this court in our hometown. I can't hear the Eagles without being right next to my cousin. As he was passing away from cancer. I can't hear U2's All That You Can't Leave Behind album without being back like senior year in college or right around 9/11 and all of the memories that came along with those moments. I cannot hear this song, Amazing Grace, without being transported back to a 16-year-old kid whose life was falling apart. And I was filled with all kinds of fear and anxiety and anger. And my neighbor leads me to Jesus. And the only song I knew to sing was this one. Walking back home into a situation that was still in disarray, still in all kinds of unraveling as my parents were getting a divorce and but it was in that moment, even when the whole world seemed to be crumbling, that a grace broke in the middle. And now 30-some years later, almost, can't look back at that time, or can't sing this song without going, what grace? What grace that saved me? And what grace that has brought me safe thus far? God, what grace you have for us. We all have those moments. We have songs that are sort of benchmarks on our journey with you that we look back on, and every time we sing the song, we're back there and we remember what you did. We remember who you are and what you've done. And the songs then fill us with hope that in the moment that we're in whatever we're facing, that you who brought us safe this far will bring us safe the rest of the way, that we can trust you into eternity. We can trust you. So fill us with hope, fill us with trust, remind us of your faithfulness in our past, that we might hold on to your faithfulness as we face an uncertain future, and with certainty that at some point you'll return. And you'll make everything right and true and good and beautiful again. And you'll wipe away every tear from our eye. And every fear and anxiety and question and doubt and struggle and wrestle that we have will all be resolved. All be resolved in you. And we'll be able to see it clearly. Well, right now we can only see partly. We'll be able to see it clearly then. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Let's join together if you can. If you're willing and able, join hands with someone next to you. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together this morning. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. Amen. New Life Downtown, you may be seated. Middle school, we love you. Have a great time today with Pastor Brock and the team. Hey, my name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors here at New Life Downtown. If you are visiting with us today, we're so glad that you're here. I met a group of students from San Diego State, part of a Navigators group. Welcome, you guys. We're glad that you are not San Diego State, South Dakota State. Sorry. Maybe, you know, I have like San Diego on my mind all the time, not South Dakota, but South Dakota is awesome. We're glad that you guys are here today. They're with the Navigators. They're hanging out this week in the Springs. But if you're visiting with us, we're so glad you're here. If you're newer and you'd like to fill out a guest card so that we can get to know you and answer any questions that you might have, there's a QR code here or there's some written copies out in the lobby. We'd love for you to fill one of those out. One of our team will reach out to you and love to take you out for coffee and hear your story. And answer any questions that you have about the church. At this time, I want to invite Ken and Tracy to come on up, the Harmons, come up on stage with me. And then our staff team, if you want to come up, if we have any staff here, I know there's several of them are serving in kids ministry today, but if you're on staff or if you're part of CR leadership team, if you want to come up and surround these guys as well. Many of you saw the email this week or saw on Facebook. Ken and Tracy have been part of New Life Downtown for just over 4 years or so and been on our team for about 3.5. And a few weeks ago, Ken came to me and shared that about a longtime dream that he's had to, there he is, to start a nonprofit called Stop Living Wounded. And in order to kind of invest his time fully in that, he decided, like, now's the time to give myself wholly to that and to step down from his role of as our pastor of recovery here at New Life Downtown. So this is Ken's last Sunday on staff with us so that he can turn his attention toward that ministry that God has given him. When he first told me, I was shocked and I was sad. I was like, what? No. And then over the course of the last few weeks, as Ken and I have talked, and as some of you read in the letter that we got posted on our Facebook group, the last several years in Ken's life has been a series of God's restorative work. They had to move here from Texas due to some severe health crises. We couldn't stay in high humid climates. It was had a mold issue for his lungs and in and out of the hospital. Last year was the first year that he stayed out of the hospital in 15 years, which is amazing. Full restoration and health. He had stepped out of doing ministry during that time, and coming back into staff at New Life Downtown is a restoration into ministry. And we've experienced so much goodness from all of that. I mean, there's Ken's fingerprints in all kinds of places around our congregation, particularly in helping us start the community care closet here at Palmer High School, the adopt a student here at Palmer High School, the things that we've done with the Salvation Army and a number of other like local outreach things that Ken started, and of course Celebrate Recovery, which just started here about 6-7 months ago. We got some of the team around it. He's trained up to help launch Celebrate Recovery here. So it's been a full restoration into ministry and now a restoration of a dream. God first laid this ministry on Ken's heart about 12 years ago, and it had just gotten buried underneath so much, and now it's here again. And that's so like our God. Yes. Things that can be long dormant and feel long lost and feel so distant from us just suddenly come back around in the most surprising and beautiful of ways. But we wanted to tell you all, and we want to pray over Ken and Tracy and Grace and Cora. Many of you know that with Ken starting CR, Tracy has been right there along by the side the whole way, doing so much work. And our family and many of your families have been the beneficiaries of Tracy's incredible generosity and her showing up in hard and difficult places. There were numerous times when we were in the hospital with Cora last year where we'd be here at church and she's like, I'm taking the girls and we're going to the mall and I'm getting them lunch. We'll see you later. And it was like, oh, thank you. Just moments where she has shown up over and over and over again. And we've gotten to celebrate Grace and Cora in so many ways for the last few years as well. So we want to stretch our hands over them. We want to anoint them with oil. We want to pray over this transition. We want to pray over this ministry. We want to thank God for the Harmons. Can we do that together this morning? All right. Do we have any oil up here? I forgot to grab some as I was coming up. All right. We're going to anoint you with oil. We already anointed you with oil a couple of times. We'll do it again on Tuesday. I forgot to grab it when I was coming up because I was worried about tripping. David, David's got some. He's going to take care of us. I'm always worried about tripping coming up the stairs, so I forget things. This is what happens when you're uncoordinated. Thank you, David. For those of you who are maybe newer to church, oil is just a sign of the mysterious presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. A sign of his favor, of his grace, of his empowerment, of his calling, of his setting apart. And so, Jesus, we pray over Ken and Tracy and Cora and Grace today, and we thank you for this family. And thank you for their years of sacrificial service and generosity and joy and encouragement and energy and fun and laughter and creativity and sacrifice and initiation that they have brought to New Life Downtown. Thank you for all the ways that their fingerprints are a part of our lives individually and collectively. And we are so thankful for them and for the ministry that you've given them. And we are so thankful for the work of restoration that you have done. We stand in awe and wonder and amazement, and we say, look at Jesus. Look at you. And we celebrate with them this transition, this new season, this new opportunity, this restored dream. We celebrate with sadness as they transition off of staff, and we celebrate with joy at what you have done. And we ask that in every transition, there are moments of loneliness or isolation or wonder or fear or doubt or concern or even attack from the enemy. And we ask that you would protect them in every way. That this transition would have none of those things, but would be pure delight and joy. And as Ken focuses his attention full-time on Stop Living Wounded, would the things that are on his heart come to fruition? And would they come faster than he thought? The books that he's working on finishing up, would the manuscripts and the words come easy? Would there be favor in getting those books out to the world to be helpful to others? He works on additional training and certifications. Would all of those courses and books and things that he's reading, would they be filled with all kinds of joy? And the things that are maybe deep down in that dream that he thinks maybe they're 3 or 5 or 10 years away, may they suddenly be right before him sooner than he thought possible. And may his ministry flourish, not just for his sake, but for the sake of all of those that you've called him alongside to bring healing and restoration in the midst of life's wounds. And we pray that you would bless them and keep them. Cause your face to shine on them and be gracious to them. That you would turn your face toward them and give them peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Church family, would you thank the Harmons for all that they have given to our congregation? Some of you may be wondering what's next for CR. You see this huge crowd of volunteers behind them. Ken has raised up an amazing team, and Pastor Blake is going to be meeting with them and being in a discernment process of what his leadership looks like for CR as we move forward. So please pray for our CR team and for Pastor Blake as they enter into that time together. As we turn our hearts now to the Word of God, there's a few ways we participate in these moments. One is through our own giving. We spend our lives receiving from God. And then we get to participate in his ongoing work by giving out of the abundance that he has given to us. There are four ways that you can give. You can give online or via the app. The QR code will get you there. If you're giving online or the app, or you've set up reoccurring giving, please make sure you select New Life Downtown as your congregation of choice. There are boxes in the back, or there's an address there, especially for those of you who are watching online. Now, in the season of Lent, we're taking a moment to just still our hearts in silence as we prepare to hear the Word of God. And so would you join me in just a few moments of silence to still and steady our hearts and to ask and invite the Spirit of God to speak to us today.
Hello, my name is Randy Lynn, and the Old Testament reading is found in Ezekiel 34, 12 through 15. As a shepherd seeks out the flock when some in the flock have been scattered, so will I seek out my flock. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered during the time of clouds and thick darkness. I will gather and lead them out from the countries and peoples, and I will bring them to their own fertile land. I will feed them on Israel's highlands, along the riverbeds, and in all the inhabited places. I will feed them in good pasture, and their sheepfold will be there on Israel's lofty highlands. On Israel's highlands, they will lie down in a secure fold and feed on green pastures. I myself will feed my flock and make them lie down. This is what the Lord God says, the word of the Lord.
Hello, my name is Sean. The New Testament reading is found in 1 Peter 2, 21 through 25. You were called to this kind of endurance because Christ suffered on your behalf. He left you an example so that you might follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, nor did he ever speak in ways meant to deceive. When he was insulted, he did not reply with insults. When he suffered, he did not threaten revenge. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He carried in his own body on the cross the sins we committed. He did this so that we might live in righteousness, having nothing to do with sin. By his wounds, you were healed. Though you were like straying sheep, you have now returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your lives. The word of the Lord.
Hello, my name is Sylvia. Thank you for standing for the gospel reading. So Jesus spoke again on the gospel reading found in John chapter 10, verses 7 through 11. So Jesus spoke again. I assure you that I am the gate of the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and outlaws, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief enters only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so that they could have life, indeed, so that they could live life to the fullest. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The gospel of the Lord.
Would you please remain standing with me as we pray? This is a prayer for the fourth Sunday in Advent or in Lent. Gracious Father, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world, evermore give us this bread, that he may live in us and we live in him. The one who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to see you guys this morning. Thanks for enduring with all my tears so far. I don't know if we'll have more in the sermon or not, but at least we've had, you know, a few rounds already. So if you're new, welcome. This tends to happen. The other thing that you may be, if you're new, you're kind of like looking at the stage and going like, what's going on back here? One of the joys of meeting in a school is that sometimes we get to participate in the school play during the times. This is Footloose is the theme for this year. I'm guessing that's maybe the barn that's going to get lifted up and there's going to be a barn dance. So later on, we go back into worship if you feel like, you know, you need to cut loose. Feel free to do so from there. We've got the setting. We're all ready to go. One of the other joys of meeting in the oldest high school in the city is every once in a while when your volunteer setup team is here early in the morning trying to get everything all set up and ready to go to welcome the people of God into this place, the elevator breaks. So we store everything in the basement underneath this stage, and there's an elevator back there, and it broke again this morning. It's just like a couple times a year sort of process, and so then we get to hand carry things out of the basement. So volunteer team who is here this morning, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. There is one of our loading cases with all of the supplies for the nursery is still in the elevator, but thankfully no one from the setup team is still in there. It's just those belongings. Today is the fourth Sunday in Lent. Lent is a 40-day season in which we walk with Jesus to the cross and prepare our hearts to celebrate his resurrection on Easter Sunday. As we've noted throughout this season, Lent is historically a season that is marked by fasting. And so that is what we're practicing together right now, is practicing, learning, studying about fasting. Our meal groups are using some resources from an organization called Practicing the Way. And most of those meal groups or others are in getting ready to enter into or have just watched the third week of videos around fasting. And this week, the whole theme is around how fasting amplifies our prayers. There are frequent times in the Gospels where Jesus will say things about prayer and fasting, that these two things go together. And there's something about these moments of sacrificing food to make room for Jesus that amplify our prayers. This week I heard a couple stories. One was a woman in our congregation getting ready to go in for cancer surgery. She had cancer surgery on Friday, and just as her meal group was fasting together, the amplification of prayers and the peace and comfort and encouragement that came to her through her group and through that practice of fasting. It was a beautiful time of preparation into that. And Mary, if you're watching online today, we love you and hope that you are doing well as you are recovering. I talked to another couple who were fasting together along with their group, but they were fasting together. It happened to be the same day that one person in the family was heading in for counseling, for therapy. And they began to recognize, like, as they were fasting, they were praying together and just asking for breakthrough. And just one of those long sort of moments and walks in life and pleading and asking Jesus for breakthrough. And they ended up fasting on the same day that the counseling session happened. And it was in that counseling session that Jesus showed up in a really unique way. and brought freedom and healing and help and hope. And this is what happens when we partner with Jesus, that sometimes he shows up in those kind of ways. Sometimes we wait and see how he shows up. But thank you for those of you who are saying, okay, we're going to enter into this process. We're going to fast and we are going to pray together. And as I said last week, there may be times that fasting is not for you. So if you have ever struggled with an eating disorder, with body shame, if you have medical conditions like you're diabetic or those things, please do not partake in fasting without talking to your healthcare provider, your counselor, your therapist, your loved ones, your family. It is okay. There is no shame at all being able to say, like, this is not a practice for me. There are other ways, other practices that Jesus gives us to follow him in. So those of you who are able to fast and join us, great. If you're not able, we love you. We see you. And we want to come alongside you whatever way that we can as you continue to walk out life with those things in your life. We all have things that we are walking out in different ways. And sometimes it changes how we engage in certain practices. So we love you and we see you during this time. We're continuing our series in the Gospel of John, a series we call Behold, where John is inviting us throughout his gospel to look at Jesus, to consider Jesus' claims, his words, and his signs, the things that he does, and then to decide whether or not we're going to believe him. And belief in the Gospels is not simply sort of a mental assent of like, yeah, I think Jesus really did live, I think Jesus really did die, but belief in the Gospels is about giving ourselves wholly to him, about saying, I'm going to follow Jesus with my entire life. I'm going to trust him, indeed, that he is who he says he is, and I'm going to trust his teachings. I'm going to follow his way of life and believe that following Jesus leads into the good life. This is really one of those core quests of the human experience, that oftentimes as humans, one of the questions we're either consciously or unconsciously asking is, what does it mean to be a good person? How do we become good people? And what does it mean to live a good life? Not just experience the good life, you know, kicking back in a camping chair up in the mountains somewhere with a campfire and friends and maybe a ukulele, but like what really is a good life? What is the kind of life that leaves a legacy? What is a life that's marked by character? What is the kind of life that people can look at and say, yes, that is a life well lived? And we believe that Jesus is the one who can lead us into that. And so today we're in John chapter 10. Jesus in the previous chapter in John 9 has just healed a blind man on the Sabbath. And now he's engaged in a long conversation with some religious leaders who are upset about what Jesus has done. And inside of this passage, Jesus makes two declarations about himself. He says, I am the gate of the sheep and I am the good shepherd. I am the gate of the sheep and I am the good shepherd. This is a bit of an odd language to most of us. I'm assuming that very few of us in the room are shepherds, that very few of us in the room know a shepherd, and that we've spent little time with sheep, except maybe at the petting zoo or on Instagram as you've watched those videos of that sheep getting pulled out of the trench and then jumping right back into it. If you've seen that one, if you haven't seen it, the video is worth it just for 10 minutes of laughter this afternoon. Just Google sheep trench and you'll see what I'm talking about. But in ancient Israel, sheep were common. This was the land flowing with milk and honey. Now, we hear that phrase, milk and honey, and we immediately think about cows and bees. But for Israel, this meant this was a life that was suitable for shepherds and farmers. The milk that they were drinking was from sheep and from goats, and the honey they were eating was fruit syrup from dates and from figs. And so in the Old Testament, shepherds were common, and it was common to use the imagery of shepherd and sheep in a variety of ways. They were oftentimes metaphors, typically metaphors for Israel's leaders, for Israel's kings, and their citizens. And then that got applied then at various times to God and his people, that he is our God and we are the sheep of his pasture. The imagery probably emanates from David, the shepherd boy who became Israel's great king. So they oftentimes imagined leaders and those who are following in this kind of language. It's not how we imagine leaders. We typically don't go to agricultural image first. We look at military imagery or political imagery or business imagery. This is our sort of evocative imagery around leadership. And yet in the Old Testament, we find this idea of shepherd, and Jesus pulls on that in the New Testament as well. For Israel, this image was incredibly evocative. We see this especially in Ezekiel chapter 34, where God confronts Israel's kings on how poorly they are leading. And he says this to Ezekiel, the prophet, says, human one, prophesy, in other words, speak on my behalf against Israel's shepherds, against Israel's leaders, prophesy and say to them, the Lord God proclaims to the shepherds, to the kings, to the leaders, to the religious authorities, doom to Israel's shepherds who tended themselves. Shouldn't shepherds tend the flock? But instead, you drink the milk and you wear the wool and you slaughter the fat animals, but you don't tend the flock. You don't strengthen the weak. You don't heal the sick. You don't bind up the injured. You don't bring back the strays. You don't seek out the lost. But instead, you use force to rule them with injustice. And without a shepherd, my flock became scattered. And when it was scattered, it became vulnerable. It became food for all the wild animals. Here in ancient Israel, we find that leaders were capitalizing on their positions of authority. They were using their power for personal profit. They used authority to exploit, to oppress, to abuse. We see an image here of what a bad shepherd looks like. A bad shepherd is one who takes from the sheep in order to enrich his or her life. A bad shepherd is one who takes from the sheep in order to enrich his or her life. And this is a story we know all too well. That all around the room, we have stories that are similar to this. Many of us have been hurt by those who we entrusted with our care, whether that was elected officials or employers or teachers or coaches or pastors or even our parents. Those who are meant to care for us, who are meant to tend to us, instead ended up tending primarily to themselves. And those experiences can range from the incredibly disappointing to the painful to the traumatic. And they can leave us with all kinds of suspicions about anyone in any kind of leadership or authority position. And those become incredibly complicated when those people who hurt us also claim to be followers of Jesus. And adding another dimension to it that causes us to even question, can God be trusted? Because those who claim to follow him instead of tending to us and to our needs tended to themselves. And I just want to say, as we enter into a passage like this, that I am so sorry. I'm so sorry for all of the experiences that you've had in your life where that has been true. And I'm especially sorry for the times that that has been maybe even done to you in the name of Jesus, or done to you by people who claim to be his followers. What this passage teaches us, maybe more than anything, is that God sees your pain and he shares your anger. He sees you and he shares your anger about what it is that happened. He shares it so much that as Ezekiel goes on and he's continuing to chastise these leaders for the way that they have treated people that were entrusted to their care, that God says that he's had enough. And what he's going to do is that he himself is going to come to shepherd his people. That he himself is going to come. That he is going to take over in this situation. Later on in the passage, we'll see that he's going to connect this to the coming of a king. Ezekiel 34:23 says, I will appoint for them a single shepherd, and he will feed them. My servant David will feed them. So a descendant of David will feed them, and he will be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be their prince. I, the Lord, have spoken. So he says, I'm
pushing these leaders aside, and I myself am going to come and take care of my flock. And then he connects that to this idea of a coming king. And so Israel starts to wonder, okay, what is happening here? Is God coming to take care of us, or is he sending us another king who's just going to be different than all of the other ones? And they're wrestling kind of with this tension, but they know they should look for a king who rules like a good shepherd and not a bad shepherd, and they should also look for God to come. They should look for someone who's going to lead them into a good life, into a secure sheepfold, into green pastures, and they should look for God to do the same. And Jesus comes and says, I'm actually him. I'm God who's come incarnate, and I am the offspring of David who's come to lead you. I am the one that you've been looking for. I am the one that you've been wanting. I'm the one that you've been hoping for. So Jesus said, I assure you that I am the gate of the sheep. And all who come before me were thieves and outlaws, but the sheep didn't listen to them, for I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and they will go out and they will find pasture. You can hear that echo of Exodus or of Ezekiel 34. But the thief enters only to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I came that they might have life, life indeed, so they could have life and life even to the fullest. See, in the ancient world, shepherds would bring their sheep into an enclosure at night. And then the shepherd would sleep at the entrance of that enclosure, would sleep right there in the gateway. The shepherd would be the gate. The shepherd would be the one who would keep the sheep in and the predators out. Spend all evening protecting the sheep. And then in the morning, the shepherd would lead the sheep back out to find good pasture, lush and green places where their bodies could be restored. The shepherd is the one who does all of this, gives his whole life, his whole self, so that the sheep can thrive, that they can find life. And he contrasts this with the thieves and the outlaws. In other words, those who are like the bad shepherds in Ezekiel, who are entirely self-interested, that all that they do is to come to kill and destroy what is not theirs. They take what isn't theirs, and they actually discard it in ways that are destructive. The result is the death of the sheep and the profit that lines their own pockets. And Jesus says, I am not like that at all. I am the gates, the one who stays watch through the night and the one who leads his people into good pasture. He goes on and he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. When the hired hand sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. That's because he isn't the shepherd. The sheep aren't really his. And so the wolf attacks the sheep and scatters them. He's only a hired hand, and the sheep don't matter to him. But I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, so I give up my life for the sheep. See, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I'm the one that Ezekiel talked about all those years ago. And the way that you know is the good shepherd is the one who gives his life to save his sheep. Not the one who sacrifices the sheep in order to pad his pockets, but the good shepherd gives his life to save the sheep. He contrasts this at this point in the passage, not with a thief who comes to kill, but with the hired hand who runs away as soon as danger and difficulty appear. The primary concern for both the thief, the outlaw, and the hired hand is self-preservation, self-interest. What's in this for me? But the good shepherd is the one who puts himself between the predator and the prey. He's the one who's prepared to die in order to protect his sheep. And as the New Testament scholar N.T. Wright says, Jesus declares that this, that violent death, is not just a dangerous possibility for him, it's his vocation. It's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came knowingly, willingly, lovingly, and joyfully to give up his life to save us, to save his
his people. He was willing to take all kinds of suffering upon himself. We heard it in our New Testament reading where it says he refused to speak deceitfully. When he was insulted, he did not insult. When he was suffering, he did not threaten revenge, but instead he fully entrusted himself to the judge who judges justly. Why? So that we might live. So that we might experience full and abundant life, that we might experience life in its fullness, not just in the world to come, but in the present. That we might experience life here, not life that doesn't still have challenges. We still live in broken bodies and a fallen world where there's still trouble, but we could still experience life, a glimpse of heaven to come breaking into the earth, knowing that it's a foretaste of the divine life that is to come. But there is life in the present and life in the world to come. So what does that mean for us? What does it mean for us here in the present? What does it mean for us now? We want to jump back in John 10, and he says this earlier. He says, the sheep listen to the shepherd's voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Whenever he has gathered all of his sheep, he goes before them, and they will follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger, but will run away. Because they don't know the stranger's voice. There's a couple other key characteristics here of the good shepherd. The good shepherd not only lays down his life for the sheep, but the good shepherd knows his sheep intimately. He knows them intimately. The good shepherd gathers his sheep in solidarity, and the good shepherd leads his sheep into vitality. This is what Jesus is doing for each and every one of us and for us collectively through the Holy Spirit right now here in the presence. That Jesus is declaring to us that he knows every single one of us intimately. Later on it says that he knows them and that they know his voice. That it's possible for us because of Jesus to know God, to hear his voice. That through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and abiding in the scriptures that have been given to us, we can come to know the person and the voice of Jesus, the good shepherd. That he knows every single one of us and what we are going through. And he wants to be known by every single one of us. So he gathers his sheep in solidarity. The passages show him going out into any place where the sheep may be hurt or lost or afraid or confused or in danger. And the shepherd is going out and bringing all of his sheep together in solidarity, in intimacy with him and in intimacy with one another. And he's leading his sheep into vitality, into full and abundant life. And so as followers of Jesus, as our New Testament reading said, this is what Jesus is offering to us. And it becomes the example for us that we then look at in leaders and for us as leaders. And when we think about following Jesus, it then becomes an example for us as leaders and for leaders who claim to be following Jesus. And so when we think about the lives of those that we follow, those whose voice plays a significant role in our lives, those who, like Paul, claim, follow me as I follow Jesus. When we think about those voices that maybe we're reading or that we're listening to or that we're in conversation with, podcasts and authors and those that we're having coffee with during the week, those that we're asking for mentoring or discipleship or any of those things, Jesus gives a pattern by which to look at and say, okay, is this person showing me the way of Jesus? Are they leading us into greater intimacy with God? Are they leading us into greater solidarity with others? Or are these people who are sowing divisiveness, anger and hatred and tribalism? Are these people leading us to deeper intimacy with Jesus or further away from faith? Are they leading us closer into communion with the church, global and historic? Or are they pushing us away from those things? Are they really leading us into what we consider to be the good life? And we think about the life that they live or the life that we want to live, or we look at the life that Jesus lived.
the life that he set before us and said, this is the good way, walk in it? Are they helping us to walk into the good life? And are they leading us with self-giving, sacrificial love? Are they leading us in the way that Jesus leads us? And then when we think about our lives, and we think about those who follow us, because every one of us who claims to be a follower of Jesus, the follower of the good and great shepherd, means that we too are also learning to be shepherds. Not just people who are on staff at a church, but every single one of us in all of our roles and relationships, we're learning what it means to tend to people rather than just to tend to ourselves. We're learning how do we tend to our spouses and how do we tend to our kids and how do we tend to our neighbors and our coworkers and those that Jesus brings into our lives and how do we lead those that Jesus has entrusted to us in whatever place that he has found us in the school or in the marketplace or in a government institution or in the military and all of these places that he has set us. When we think about those who are following us, who are looking to us, who in our in their lives, our voice carries weight. We then ask ourselves, are we leading people into greater intimacy with Jesus? Are we leading others into greater solidarity, greater unity with Jesus and with his church, local and global and historic? Are we leading others into the good life? Are we leading others with self-giving, sacrificial love? As we transition to the table, I invite Dr. Pete to come and Mike and the team to come back up with us. This is only possible for us to live that kind of life and to leave that kind of legacy because of what the Good Shepherd has already done for us and what the Good Shepherd continues to do for us. So if you take a moment and close your eyes for just a second, I want to just lift these things before Jesus. To give ourselves space to think either about him or about the leaders in our lives or the lives that we are living as leaders. And to ask the Spirit of God to speak to us today. And say, which of these things stand out to us? Where is the invitation for God in our own lives? It may be more than anything as we come to the table. We can ask the Spirit of God to reveal Jesus to us, the Good Shepherd. We pray, Jesus, as we come to your table, would you help us to know your voice? Would you help us to trust that you know us? If you call us by name, that there is nothing in our life that you are not intimately involved with and deeply concerned about. Jesus, help us to be led by you into solidarity with you and your people. Thank you for rescuing us, for gathering us, for finding us in all of the places that our lives were taking us and bringing us back to yourself, connecting us to your family. And Jesus, would you help us to trust you, that you are the one who can show us the way into the good life, into secure sheepfolds and green pastures. Give us the strength to follow you in the way that leads to life abundant and life full. And would you show us once again today your self-giving, self-sacrificial love? Would you remind us that you are the good shepherd who laid down his life for each and every one of us? Not just others, not someone over there. But Jesus, would you remind each of us that you laid down your life for me, for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. This is the Good Shepherd's table. This is Jesus' table. And all who believe that Jesus is the true King of the world are welcome to receive, regardless of your church background or your affiliation. But if that doesn't describe you this morning, if you're ready to follow Jesus, we want to invite you to this table. And we're honored that you're here. And we encourage you to keep following, to keep asking questions about our Good Shepherd Jesus. But if you're ready to begin following Jesus, we want to invite you to his table. We want to invite you to confess with us our sin and ask for forgiveness and trust him for salvation. Now, during this season of Lent, we're going to be praying a prayer based on my favorite psalm, Psalm 51, as our prayer of confession. So as you watch the screens, let's pray together. Have mercy on us, God, according to your faithful love. Wipe away our wrongdoings according to your great compassion. Wash us completely clean of our guilt. Purify us from our sin. We know our wrongdoings. Our sin is always right in front of us. We've sinned against you. We've committed evil in your sight. Purify us, and we will be clean. Wash us, and we will be whiter than snow. Create in us a pure heart, O God. Renew your spirit within us, and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Amen. It's my joy this morning to announce really good news to you. Words that are true, not because I'm saying them, or because anyone says them, but because of what God has done. So would you open up your hands and receive again the great mercy of God. Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. And this proves God's great love towards us. So in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. The peace of the Lord be with you. As those have been raised to new life with Jesus, please stand and greet those around you and extend the forgiveness of Jesus to one another by saying to one another, in the name of Jesus, you are forgiven. All right, let's lift up our hearts. Jesus is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. Amen. It is indeed a good and joyful thing to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, for you formed us in your image and you breathed your life into us. And when our love failed, your love remained and remains steadfast. When we were unfaithful, you sent your Son to be faithful on our behalf. So on the night that our Lord was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ, he took bread. And when he had blessed it, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he said to them, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we proclaim the great mystery of faith that Christ has died and Christ is risen and Christ will come again. Would you stretch out your hands and pray with me as we invite the Holy Spirit to meet us here? Father, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Jesus, that we may be for the world the body of Jesus, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Jesus, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Jesus, the Good Shepherd, returns in final victory. Amen. I'd like to invite the servers up now, please. These are the gifts of God given for the people of God. Receive them in remembrance that Jesus died for you and feed on him in your heart by faith, but with thanksgiving. Now, this is your first time with us. If you want to know how we're going to do this communion set, you can watch the QR code. You can scan the QR code for the instructions, or you can just watch everybody around you. If you're unable to come forward, please ask someone nearby to bring the elements to you. And if you're in the balcony, you're welcome to come down and join this right side here and receive the elements there. But there are elements, I believe, near the entrance as well. Let's worship together as we come to the table of the Great Shepherd. Amen.
The things of
generations. We are your people, and we're crying out in desperation. So open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears. Come to your people as we draw near. Hear us from heaven, touch our generation. We are your people, crying out in desperation. Hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven. Hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven. Hear us from heaven, 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 hear us from heaven.
Can we sing this chorus out together? I need you, Jesus.
You, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me when
I need you, Jesus.
And I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Oh, where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. I will follow.
Good Shepherd, we say,
we will follow you.
Oh, Good Shepherd,
I will follow you. I will follow you.
One last time, I need you, Jesus. You sing it.
I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue.
Where else?
There's no other name which I can say. Won't you capture me with grace? I will follow you.
Yes, Lord.
And praise God from whom all blessings. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son.
Amen. Well, this morning, if the Lord has met you in any way, we encourage you to come forward and pray with the very same people who've served your communion. They're here and ready to pray with you. And as we are preparing for Easter week, just a couple of quick reminders that Good Friday will be here at Palmer High School on March 29th, 6:30 p.m. We hope you can worship with us then, and again on Easter Sunday at either 9 or 11 a.m. The resurrection is coming. The resurrection is here, and we are so excited to celebrate it and to go through that week with you. So as we prepare to be sent out from here today, and however God has met us, would you open your hands to receive a blessing, prepared to go to be one to the world. The blessing that God's put on my heart for you today is a Celtic prayer that I pray with my kids every morning. And as we think about following the Good Shepherd, I think it fits so well today. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you through the storm. May he bring you home, rejoicing at the wonders he's shown you. And may he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors or any door that you call home this week. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. We'll see you around the city and hopefully back again next Sunday.